Okay, we are on shiur number two of our quest to understand the halachas and the hashkafas of Geneva's Das. And I think that it's very important on this sheet will not be too intense, but I think will help us define it. I'm going to need a lot of participation today from the audience so that we could understand the different shitas that we have over here. So I gave out one sheet, source, right? And then I happened to make the tshuva, if you will, the question of Rav Zilberstein a little bit bigger. So I'll just quote you what it says on that sheet. We yesterday, just to summarize, discussed different shitas of what the iser of Genevas Das is. We gave, I think we came up with five possibilities, right? Three deraisas, based on lo tignovu, based on dvar shekhar tirchak, onos dvarim, the Aryeh's good catch in seeing that the smak learns it to be a dirabanan, an asmachta, if you will, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav's assertion that it only applies when there's actually hefseid mamon. The interpretation of this, for example, in Parshas Bahar, if those that have that extra seat that I gave out, so in Parshas Bahar it says "Lo sa'anu ishas amito v'yirektam elokech ani Hashem elokechem." So here the Svarna learns this out to be an iser based on this pasuk of "Lo sa'anu afilu b'devarim v'gnevas das ve'etzos ras afilu bilti shum." Even if it's not dealing with money, here the Svarner would disagree, if you will, with the Shulchan Aruch Harav, even though they're not in the same time period. And he would say that the Isser is even not with money. You give it somebody an Eitzorah. We spoke about that the Shulchan Aruch Harav is talking about there are times when Geneva's Das could lead to an actual loss of money. What do I mean? So he said, where a person does something for you, I was just in the office before, and so in the office there was a beautiful, huge fruit basket, and I said, "Ooh, chashav zachim." No, chas v'shalom. Nobody who likes me would give me a fruit basket. And in the fruit basket, so the fruit basket had beautiful fruit in it. And I said, "What happened?" And they said, "Oh, it was somebody who wrote, you know, sorry for being so mean the first day of camp, blah blah blah, whatever." So that, if that person was doing it to get paid off later, if that person was doing it because they don't really like the person, but now you're going to feel so good about it, you're always going to... Right, this is what we do. The question is, what is Geneva's Das and what isn't? And I think this is something that's a little bit difficult to interpret. I think that's where the Rambams come in. Before that, tomorrow you will see, because we'll have more time to learn this together, you will see the gamut of the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Chav Ches in Choshen Mishpat, that is going to have so many different halachas. But just to codify one of them, we'll do them tomorrow. Ketzer hu onas dvarim, lo yomar bakama ata rotze sheitein chefetze, hu ena rotze. You go into the 99 cent store, just because you think it's a funny joke you can put on YouTube, you ask the guy, how much does this item cost? 99 cents, 99, just because it's funny. You're not going to buy anything, you have no money, you're not going to buy anything. Don't go into a store and ask prices of items when you know that you're not going to buy it. Hayu chamivakshim leknois tavua, right? And he has no intention. Lo yomar lem luchu etzaploni v'hu yodeh she'ein l'mocha. Right? Even worse, you give him an etzorah. You tell him to go out, and a person says, oh, you get very annoyed. Sometimes people get annoyed. You walk into their store, you're a clothing store, and they said, hi, sorry to bother you. Can you help me for a moment? I'm looking for a hammer. A hammer? Chutzpah, what are you coming to my store for? Baking, wasting my time. You want a hammer? Go across the street. They sell them the 99 cent store. 99 cent store doesn't sell hammers. Why do you say it? Because you're annoyed at the guy. So that's a little shtickle of Geneva's Das, right? Eitzah Ra is also, it's also, if Ne'ivir looks at Tei Mikhsho, is also a problem over here. Right? You give somebody a bad Eitzah, just, you know. Sometimes we do this Geneva's Das, is a double Geneva's Das, if you will. And that is that a person thinks that you're smart, right? You're not really so smart. But they really appreciate your Eitzahs. Your advice. So they say, listen, I wonder if you can help me. Do you know anything about X subject? Honestly, you don't really know much about that subject. So what do? You say you do. You start giving him eitzes, or you want to really sound, you know, cool. So what do? You Google it first. And then he comes to you, and you throw out some words, and he's like, wow, this guy really is holding. Right? He knows dividends, and he knows, bond collection, whatever. So this guy knows. Right? And at the end, he says, okay, so to summarize, you'll call my friend Bernie Madoff, and you'll invest your money with him. Mistake. Maybe not, if you took your money out in the beginning. Anyway, yeah. So that's all Ganeva's Das. Interesting, as part of Ganeva's Das, he says, a person shouldn't tell to Chaveiros about Tshuva, Zachar Ma'aseh HaRishonim. This is talking about Onus Tavarim, not really our case. So then I brought the Rambam. And I ask you to think, to please think, what is the commonality, or why I should say, you have a Rambam in Hilchos Deos and a Rambam in Hilchos Mechira. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos seemingly is the same. It says also la'adam lahanig atzma b'divrei chalkos apiv upitov. You shouldn't be sleuth saying below ye echad b'peh ve'echad b'leiv. You shouldn't have one thought in your heart and say another thing. Elo tocha kabaro, my favorite line. I want to say in all Rambams, but live your life as a tocha kabaro Jew. That what's inside is what I represent is great. Don't be a hypocrite. Yeah, inyan shabalev who dover shabapav. Also the ganov das abrios afilu das nachri. Some of the things we did yesterday in the Gemara. Ketzad examples. You won't be surprised because you know these examples already. Of yimkor lenachri baser nevela b'makom baser shchuta v'chulu v'chulu. But then in Hilchos Mechira, this is Hilchos Deos. What's Hilchos Deos? Hilchos Deos is how to act, how to be a good person. But in the Mamish, the Tachos of Choshe Mishpat, the Rambam says, Asul Ramot, et Pnei Adam, et Mecha Chomemkar, Alugnov Data, Echad El Chaydechachar. So does anybody know why the Rambam cites this in two places? What's the Chiddush of the Rambam? Good, that's what I want to say. What are the two different things? What is he teaching us in Deos differently? There's no Russian difference over here. What's the difference? But Rebbe said, come on, wake up. What's the difference in Hilchos Deos and Hilchos Mechira? What's the difference in these two Rambams? And I'm not looking for a word difference. I'm looking for a Tachlis, a Metzias difference. Anyone? Look at the Rambams. Tell me, what do you think? Who says this? Can I commandeer it? Payback? Anybody have any thoughts? So I will spoon feed it further to you. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Deos that seemingly maybe is not similar to Mechira. One possibility is from the Sefer HaKovetz, quoted here in source number 10. And the Sefer HaKovetz first quotes for us the Ritva, which we did yesterday in Chulin, who holds from the similar opinion that it's a Isser of Onus Tavarim, Lotignovu. The Rambam also mentions the prohibition of Hilchos Mechira, but does not mention the source there either. The Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, grouped this prohibition as Onus Tavarim, right? We said the Ritva was unique in Dvar Shachar Tircha. The Rambam doesn't link anything. But why is it written twice in two different places? Both in Hilchos Mechira. Because there are two Svei Dinim over here. There is an aspect of being an ethical Jew. And then there's a business halacha. The Rambam emphasizes two aspects in the commentary in the Mishnah in Kalim, where he elaborates on the prohibition against deceiving non-Jews because of Chil Hashem. There are two separate Asurim over here. Seemingly similar Rambams. But Deos, Hilchos Deos, is a halachos about daily life. How are we supposed to act? So whether or not in the Rambam and Hilchos Mechira you couple this as an Isur that's based on Geneva, Onas Tavarim, all basically the same types of things. But it's so much worse because Hilchos Deos tells you you're not an ethical person. You're not acting the way that you should act. And that might be different than other types of Isurim. The Chiddush is that we're created in this world to be Mekadosh Shem Hashem. And this is anti-Kiddush Hashem. Very, very interesting. And that would make sense why the Rambam stresses in Hilchos Deos about a non-Jew. Because when it comes to certain halachas of Geneva, so there are certain halachas where we're definitely more machmir when it comes to Jews than non-Jews. Again, unless there's a Chil Hashem. And there are certain areas where obviously, as we see here, there's no difference. Why is there no difference? So maybe there's a technical reason where we can go ahead, and we talked about yesterday, Talos Akum. So there's a certain situation where maybe Talos Akum would be allowed, but if there's a shmek, a possibility of it being a Chil Hashem, you got to take it out of the realm. You can't do it. And therefore, the Rambam is emphasizing to us two separate issues over here. Issue one is the Isser in itself in Hilchos Mechira, which is just a business halacha, but then not being an ethical Jew. And that can't be tolerated. It's defining who you are and what you are. There are a lot of halachas in Hilchos Mechira, there are a lot of halachas in business halacha. The Rambam doesn't count it separately in Hilchos Deos. Yeah. Yeah. But there's a hypocrisy here. And that's why, by the way, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos doesn't talk just strictly about halacha. He says this line of Tiyeh Echad Bepeh Ve'Echad Baleh, Tocho Kabara. The Tocho Kabara halacha, which is a throwback to our first year that we gave, now featured on yutorah.org, right, about my personal struggle with that in the Ministry of Defense and in Netophone and other places I work, is how a Jew acts. So the halachas of Geneva Das extend and expand to maybe cases, as we said before, this is not just a business shear, Hilchos Mechira, it's a daily life shear. Right? The Rambam's stressing in Hilchos Deos, Perek Beis, halacha of, a halacha of the nature of a human being. And how you define what a human being is, who a human being is, what they are. And if a human being is not a person who acts in accordance with society's will, there's a problem. And this is a, you know, just to get Musari for a second, because I know you love Musar. This is a challenge. And Dafka, I think in the halachas of Geneva Das, it becomes a big challenge of acting differently towards certain people, of being one way towards him and one way towards them, because maybe they can get you something. Somebody in this year pointed out, I won't say his name and put it live on Yud Torah, somebody pointed out that this is a big challenge, because part of us always kind of does this, right? I'll be friendly now with the chef, maybe I don't care for the chef so much, but I know at the end of the day, really can get me something. Right? I'll give you an example. This is not a real example, right? One of the parents come up to me, and the parent says, you know, one of the staff parents say, ooh, the kolo, da, da, da. Do you have any time to learn with my son? He needs a little push. Do you mind? So that's a little bit weird, because I've already been offered to tutor kids and make money off it. So what, am I going to keep teaching the staff kid for free? Why, you think I'm a sugar though? Then all of a sudden, the chef comes and he says, can you teach my son? Or the canteen lady's son comes and says this. Or, I guess for my wife, the Zumba lady's son comes. You know, the spinning lady's coming. People I don't care about. And all of a sudden I say, yeah, sure, no problem. What's the difference? Is that Geneva Das? To the person that comes to me that's on sports staff, which doesn't have any meaning to me in life, I say, well, you know, it's a little bit awkward, actually. I usually learn with boys for money. I'm sorry. Yes. And with the chef, I say, sure, no problem. I'd love to learn with him. And what happens? I'll tell you exactly what happens. Go into the dining room, and I have no holds barred. Do whatever I want. I go into the kitchen one day and they catch me there, and the head waiter says, "Excuse me, sir, you're not allowed in the kitchen." All of a sudden the chef says, "No, Rabbi Hartstein, he can come with whatever he wants. You want to try? Ooh, I'm making something now. Delicious." You know, today, this isn't true. This, yes, sir.
Why isn't that equivalent to getting paid?
What do you mean?
Instead of getting paid money, you're just getting another type of benefit.
Very interesting. So that's the question I wanted to throw out. Is it Kenei Vastas?
Because he doesn't know.
Oh, it's the same thing. Very good.
Yesterday. Excellent.
What?
Same thing we talked about yesterday.
What did we talk about yesterday? Remind me. Everybody's waking up now. This is great. Soon, some of the other Brits will wake up. Yes.
With regards to the bottle of wine that you opened up for your wife or whatever.
Yeah.
And a friend comes over and he's like, "Here's this bottle of wine. I'm making all the time." And he's like, "Oh, he opened up such a nice bottle. Why don't I go and
Good. Go ahead. Fight with him. Yeah.
I don't think that's the same thing, because that's you're tricking him and you're making him believe something which isn't true.
How is it? You're telling him you'll learn with his son for free,
but
and you don't
that
set any terms. Does he? Or is he just doing it because he feels chayiv to you because you're teaching his son for free?
He probably doesn't feel chayiv, though. He probably just like
he
doesn't feel like he owes you. He's trying to do a nice gesture in
He's attempting to pay you back.
The question is, now you've fallen into my trap, and I'm glad that you woke up, and now you're in my trap. My trap is, that's exactly what I'm trying to get at. That's the Rabbah Min Hilchos Deos. The Rabbah Min Hilchos Deos says that's wrong. You know why that's wrong?
Ethically.
Yes. Ethically it's wrong. What? Spitz. Ethically that's wrong. I don't know what Rav Goldwasser said. Spitz. That's what he said today. Ethically it's wrong. Technically maybe it's okay because it's a form of payment, Although this, by the way, just in Hilchos, I don't want to get involved, but in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat, there's some serious questions that come out here, right? The chef does not own the camp. This is an interesting shiloh I don't know how to deal with, right? Better yet, let's not take the chef for a moment. Let's take a worst case. Let's say I get very close with the canteen, let's say it's a man, the canteen man, okay? Right? And I'm smart. I hang out. Oh, wow. This is a great, now here's the Gnei Vastas part, right? I'm Gnei Vastas. Fine. I just want to bring another thing to the floor. I'm totally going to have a stop. Wow, this is it. Did you do this yourself? Fine. And then I go there, and the canteen man says to me, "Hey, you hungry?" I'm like, "I'm from Israel. I have no money. I'm sorry." He's like, "Ah, come on, come in. And he starts to give me some frozen yogurt and whatever. I'm sorry. I apologize. That was incorrect. He gives me a steak sandwich. Right. Yeah, one of those, the yogurt. One of my wife. So... Number one, ethical in nature, I'm just not honest with the guy because I don't really like the guy at all. But number two, I'm probably stealing from the camp.
Are you stealing from the camp or are they stealing from the camp?
Oh, doesn't matter, but I'm aiding and abetting, that's stealing. Like your Shiley had before about the... Okay, so how far do we go with this? Again, not for tonight, not for, I don't know, this afternoon's year. But something we have to put in our minds, because we won't discuss it, it's always been a pet peeve of mine, because I don't know I'm not a real Talmid Chacham, because I don't know the answer to this question. I should ask somebody, maybe that would be easy. This has always bothered me. What's the level of Geneva winners to stop? I'll give you an example. Okay, excuse me for saying this. Camp Masora, I assume is the rule, in the staff cabins. We don't have ranches like you guys, fancy schmancy. So, they don't give us toilet paper. They don't give us tissues. Toilet paper, I think, is
out. They give you a plunger?
Right? No. You have to borrow. One person on the street gets it. So, I ask you a question. So now, I find myself trying very hard to find the bathroom here on the campus. And I finally find one. And I go into the bathroom, the strangest thing. It's piled high like a pyramid of toilet paper rolls. So I think to myself, good, take one to my room. So, posh, that's stealing. What do you mean? You know, why is that not stealing?
Like taking a wash of cups.
Do you really think
No.
Do you really think they'll say no if you said
it? Oh, Good. You just used the perfect word. Do you right? You're making assumptions.
You're absolutely right.
So there are certain things that are obvious. For example, when I exited that same bathroom, I found boxes of tissues, and I said, "My boys need tissues." That's obvious to me that that's mutter, because the tissues are for camp consumption. They're in, I don't know if you have it. They're in many of the bunks, stuff like that. That's fine. For me to take now a box of tissues and put it in, you're right. If I asked Ari Katz would say to me,
"Take as many as you want."
Right, the British guys, let them have it. Take all the boxes you need. But it's okay. So let's go a step further. My real shiloh on this one has always been my shiloh. Hotels. So you go to the hotel, and there are certain things, right? There are certain things that you know is not ethical in nature. Hilchos Deos Rambam, right? You're not going to steal a towel. Although my wife told me a story about a girl, who. Said to her, what? Right, she stole the bathroom. Before she stole the bathroom, she told my wife she was going to the David Citadel for Shabbos. She said, "Thank God, I forgot to bring a bathroom." She said, "You can't leave me. You can't steal the bathroom." That's actually why it says the big letters David Citadel on it. She kind of know. The reason why it says David Citadel on it is because they want you to advertise for them. So now, a few weeks later, she's sick, the girl. She comes downstairs. My wife, of course, crazy enough, what makes her soup or something, she comes downstairs. And she says, "Sprinzel, what did I tell you? How'd you steal that?" And she's tiny to herself, "Somebody stop stealing. Do you have any idea how much my parents spent to stay the David Citadel for a week? It's the least they can do." So I think that that's pushing stealing. But let's take a step further.
You asked the maid.
I think you're supposed to take the bathroom.
So now let's go into the bathroom. Not really, because there is no bathroom to go into. And what about the soaps that they leave for you?
They're throwing that out.
Are they throwing that out?
They're giving that to you. They give you a new one.
Okay, let me tell you Hartstein, I don't want to say. But yeah. So I come in and I take a lot of soaps. And the next morning they have to replenish. I didn't use the soaps. They have to replenish the soaps. So you can tie it into me. What do you mean? I'm paying, it's true, as part of my $150 a night, or my parents' $150 a night, is soaps. I decided to bring soap from home and I use soap. I'm entitled to soaps. What am I not entitled to? This is a serious challenge. My last question, which is,
but isn't that the same as if you, let's say, go to a buffet and as soon as you don't finish whatever there is, that's also stealing as well?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, but you decided to trump me. Exactly. And now I said, let's move downstairs to the breakfast. Okay? So, number one, I don't think it's Gnevas Das to do what I do when I go to hotel breakfast. I don't eat for a few days before. That's not Gnevas Das. So now you're eating to your heart content, but you know that you're going to be hungry for lunch. So all of a sudden, you know, this is like a Meister Shahaya Kachaya in every single Israeli hotel. Everybody's got to-go bags and Ziplocs and the whole Gansa Meister. They're taking everything out. Like there was an announcement made, there will be no more food for the rest of eternity. Fine. I taina that if there's a sign, and the sign explicitly says you're not allowed, please don't take anything out of the dining room, even if people are makbid, I think that that's a problem. But if you ask them and they say, yeah, you can take a little bit out, I don't know. I don't think that that's a problem. Again, to go ahead and taina to me, they're going to throw it out anyway. I don't know what they're doing with the food.
Well, it's the same thing as when you said with the canteen. Like, who are they to be the ones to say, oh, you can take it?
No, so again, that's exactly right. Assuming the policy, I'll tell you a beautiful story. Beautiful story about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Beautiful. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, as I told you, used to fly every week from Chicago to New York. So one time on his way back, it was Erev Thanksgiving, and his mother-in-law was coming to visit the family. So he flew with his mother-in-law. Shows you what a gadol he really was. So he gets there. I don't know if this, the times of the way that it used to be, but he had not purchased a ticket yet. So he says, okay, I'm purchasing a ticket for myself and my mother-in-law. And he says, I apologize, it wasn't Thanksgiving. Sorry, it was in February. And the person says, great, the ticket, I'm just making up, the ticket will be $150. It's $150. It's me and my mother. He says, oh, it's Valentine's Day. Buy one, get one free for you and your lover. So Rav Aaron probably chuckled and said, far, far from it. she's not my wife. No. So the lady says, that's okay. Nobody has to know. Two two people together, it's fine. So he says somebody will know, and he's upstairs. And no, she says no. She could proceed. She says it's fine. It's not like Rashi and Tosfos over here. It's two people there. So he says, let me speak to the manager. And the manager came out, and the manager said, what's the real policy here? So the manager said, of course, he apparently had the authority now, and he said, I can't tell you, sir, what exactly the policy's intention was, but so Rav Aaron said, I want to pay full price. Okay, Kiddush Hashem, not so important right now, but that's how we have to act in life. There's an ethical nature. There's halacha, and then there's an ethical nature of how a person acts. And that's the ikur. Again, I don't know how far one has to go. That's why I don't have a particular answer. Some things may be obvious here. Let's say you go into the supermarket, right? So you go into the supermarket and you see, oh, delicious grapes. You're not sure if they're really delicious. I have a son, he only likes crunchy grapes, right? Only has to be crunchy. So I have to try them. So are you allowed to try them? Do they allow you to do that?
In England, they sometimes
have
tested in the supermarkets. They have open packets.
Yeah.
To try.
Open packets. And that's like to try.
Depends. No, because they're charging you by the pound.
No, so right. But if they knew, whoever they is, that I really want to buy 2 pounds of cherries, of grapes, or whatever, but I'm only going to do it if I can try it, so they say, of course, try one. And in fact,
you can make that decision.
That's my Shaila. So some say that there's a given in these types of places, that of course they know that that's the nature of the business. For example, a nut store, in Eretz Yisrael especially. You go to the Pizzuchim store, and everybody's trying. Rav Zilberstein has a very interesting Shaila. I don't think it's in one of the books. I heard it on one of his shurim. And he says the following, a very funny story. A guy moves in, he opens up a Pizzuchim in some city, and next to him is a guy who owns an electronics store. And every day the guy comes to speak to him, Kedevis Das case, by the way, and you know, he's pretending like he's, hey, manyanim, shmulik, manyanim, every day. And it's annoying the heck out of him. So finally, Rosh Chodesh comes, and he says, shmulik, manyanim, he says, oh, a guten Chodesh to you. And he gives him, he says, here's all the nuts that you've eaten the whole month. You owe me 400 shekel, whatever it is. He says, blah, blah, blah. And he says, oh, I have a video camera. Every time that you ate, I wrote it down. So the Shaila was, if I'm not mistaken, I think he passed it that it's usher. Meaning he could charge it. There's a certain amount you could take. Right, there is a place in Israel called Nativ Lamed Hei. Nativ Lamed Hei has a takeout place on Erev Shabbos. So when we first moved in, so in Israel it's not so popular takeout. My parents came and they said, why should your wife have to make Shabbos? Because my parents are tzaddikim. And they said, so we're coming, we're visiting, why don't we go to takeout? So I said, Ma, you're not going to believe this. There's this takeout place. It's great in Hampton Beach. In those days, it changed a lot. Since it was very, very cheap. I think it was so cheap, if I'm not mistaken, my mother even took schnitzel home to America. Like, it was such a great prices. So we get there, and, you know, as an American, it's a little bit difficult to know, is this schnitzel or is it turkey? So we asked, there's no signs on anything. What is this? And the lady looked at us like we were from Mars, and she said, what do you mean, maza? She says, try it. You try everything here, whatever you want, as much as you want. She said, Mom, as much as you want. And I was like, oh, you shouldn't have said that to me, you know. And I was eating like a chazer on, you know, the last day before my, injection.
Isn't it also that you're not allowed to try something if you're not
going to
buy that?
Oh, yeah, right, this is exactly the halachas. It's exactly our halachas. So it's true.
But
if you don't know, you don't know. The question is, how many schnitzels are you allowed to have, really? Am I allowed to have 8 schnitzels? I mean,
I think I might have gotten an extra piece.
Right. I have to try another one. So the funny part, just the ending of the story, was the next time my parents came, so we hadn't gone the usual Thursday night, so my mother says, you know what, let's go. So it was 10 o'clock, and she goes, so as we're driving, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, and my mother's like, oh, chaval, you normally love to eat there, you know, too bad. And I looked at my mother, and I said, Ma, what do you mean? It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I can eat schnitzel. I don't care, right? Who cares? Fine. So I think the key to this Rambam is that there are Svei Dinim here. There is a general ethical nature. There's a Chil Hashem aspect of how a person acts. And I think that in my case with the chef and the canteen person, there is a serious problem with someone acting one way when the person assumes you're doing me a favor and I want to be nicer. Now it could be, right? I have a very good friend who's a caterer. I really like this guy. Okay? So I'm not, you know, getting free food from him, as I always do when I come to America, because I am duping him and I realize Gneva Stas. No, I really like it. He's a friend of mine. This is a part of it. Doesn't mean every time, oh, it's Gneva Stas. No, I'm not doing it for any reason. I like him. That's different. Now, we're going to look at the two cases. And I think that the two cases are somewhat similar, but somewhat very different in Mitzvahs. I can't give you right now, in these two cases, a razzle-dazzle, because I think the end is not going to be a machoikis, a poiskin, and we see, I don't think it's a machoikis, a poiskin, I think, in my humble opinion, it's a machoikis in Mitzvahs. And the first case is given by Rav Neustadt in the Daily Halacha. Let me tell you something, my Rabbi Sain. Can you guess, this is a thought question, can you guess the number one Walmart in the entire world? Walmart's one of the largest companies in the world. It has the number one amount of returns as of 5 years ago. 5 years ago, the article came out.
Monticello.
What?
Monticello.
Absolutely. Monticello. Montebello. I explain to you why. Because this happens is the following. You see, there's something called the country. Maybe you people don't understand from this England place. And the people from the Brooklyn, they come up and they go to the grace of country. And they make a grace of cabin. They have a grace of cabin. The cabin doesn't have anything in it. So they go to Walmart, and Walmart, at least used to, have a 90 days no questions asked policy. 90 days just happens to be the length of summer vacation for some of these people. Beep, beep. They pull the car back, and they buy air conditionings, and they buy TVs and air conditioning boxes, and they buy all these things for their cabin. Why? Because you understand why? They're Hasidish, so they can't get a delivery. Yeah, okay, you just got it. So, they install it, they have it, they have a great kind of thing. No questions asked. 89 days into it, beep, beep. They return everything. The Shaila is, can you do something like that? So that's going to be obvious to everybody. Come on, Rabbi Hartstein, stop making a joke. That's us, sir. But says Rabbi Neustadt, maybe it's not us. Now, I don't think Rabbi Neustadt would say in this case this would be mutter. But in your typical case, okay, what happens? A guy wakes up, nebuch lo aleinu, at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's tired, he's this, he's that, but he can't fall asleep. So he turns on the TV. And that is when TV has its famous infomercials. And there's a commercial from our friend at Ronco. And Ronco would like you to buy their Ronco steamer, whatever, dehydrator, and explains to you why you need it. But as part of his pitch, Mr. Ronco says that there is a 30-day money-back guarantee. I don't care if you use this product. You put it back, put it in the box, we'll even place your shipping there. And your mind, because it's not working particularly well at 3 o'clock in the morning, orders it because you know this, and you say to yourself, you know what, I'll be honest, I'll just use it for a few days and I'll return it. And that's your intention. What's halacha? Says Rabbi Neustadt that potentially this is different. He says, excuse me for the, it's not in its perfect photocopy state. There are some megastores and chains which may
tell their associates
to sell an item to a customer even if they are
clearly aware
that the customer intends to return the item after trying it out for a short period of time. Why? Because market research shows them invariably some customers change their mind and they keep the item that they purchased. Other customers forget, they're lazy, and they miss the 30 days. And therefore, they think that they outsmarted us, but everything's based on customer research. Nobody's nice to you because they're nice to you, right? Why is it that... right? Yeah, there is a form of Gnezus Das here, right? Why is it that Brookside Acai and blueberry dark chocolate thing is kosher? So it's not because Brookshire, whatever it's called, Brookside, is a Jewish company and they want to be from Mazachina. They did market research and it showed them that when an item is kosher, it could increase their sales by X percentage. And that's why they do it. Famous story about Stella Dora. They decided to become dairy, real dairy. No, yeah, not anymore. Right, everybody has the Strimal cookies after lunch. What's going to happen? Rahman al-San happens to be that, you know, most cookies, that's a big difference between Eretz Yisrael and here, right? Most cookies here that are, you know, under OU, they're all dairy. Some of them are questionably dairy, you know, Oreo cookies, are they dairy? They're not dairy. They're not important for now. They're not Pasta Yisrael, probably that's another problem, but not for now. And when it comes to Shabbos, the question is, what do you do? What do you do? You have no power food. So Phil Dorr did market research and found that they could save a lot of money if they change their ingredients and actually have milk instead of whatever other additive they have. Shkoyach. Done. We're done. Then the letter campaign started. The letter campaign was worse than Obama, you know, trying to sell Israel up a river. They got letters from little five-year-old kids. Entire schools had them write letters with little pictures, you know. Fine. Stella Dora said, letter campaign, nice, cute, who cares, shkoyach. And they put out their first run. And in about literally a week, their sales went down to an extreme point that they moms couldn't understand how many Jews must have been buying this product. Nobody bought it. What do I need anymore? What do I need Stella Dora when I could buy, you know, Chips Ahoy? They learned their lesson very quickly. I think only a month. They changed over all the equipment and they're back to dairy. They're back to power of it. Baruch Hashem. So, that's why I place it in market research. So here, market research shows what? The market research shows that, obvious, that the reason why we have these policies is because most people do not return items. Even if they're in their mindset they thought they were returning items, people forget about it. People like the product. All these different things. Even so, by the way, another Gnevus Das case, if you will, certainly not ethical, is that there is a whole department. When you call the 1-800 number and say, I want to return an item, they say, hold on, we'll put you with a customer specialist. Someone who's a specialist just in trying to convince you not to return the item. Mostly that's what the companies have. You can return it, but you know what? I'm sorry you didn't like the product. What if we send you another product for free? Like some crazy thing. Because they just want the $19.99 that they got. Because they know the product costs 2 cents to make. So I'll send you another one. I don't care. So says Rabbi Neustadt, maybe it's mutter. If we keep this in mind, so now we can explain this very interesting case in Reb Zilberstein. And I wonder how you would posken in this case yourself. Says Reb Zilberstein, also in Parshas Bahar, he wanted to buy sneakers, but he knows that his uncle Heshi works for a company called Nike. He calls Uncle Heshi and he says, Uncle Heshi, can you buy me sneakers from Nike? And Uncle Heshi is like, of course, awesome, amazing, I would love to, exciting. So he says, great, I want something called Air Jordans. Uncle Heshi starts laughing. And Uncle Heshi says, there's 148 variations of Air Jordans. Do me a favor, go into Foot Locker and find the Degem that is right for you. So he goes to the store and he finds the right one. He writes down it and he's leaving the store. The person says, excuse me, what's going on? You're not interested? We're having great sales this week. I said, no, thank you. And he walks out of the store. Bishal im mutter li lahachnis lechanut na'alayim shalom menat nekropo. There's no way I'm buying there because I know Uncle Heshi will get me a big discount from Nike because he works there. Elo rak almanat la'atarbo ben, sorry, hana'alayim. He wants to see the sizes, what they look like. Is this mutter or not to do it? Maisa Shoya happens all the time. Okay, those that saw the answer, don't give it away. What do you think? What do you think it is? Mutter or not, Morty? What do you think?
Not mutter.
Not mutter.
It depends.
It depends.
It depends on whether he went into the shop and asking, like, around for their help. Let's say he's asking, "Oh, I'm really interested in buying these," because that straight away, what, and then like it's showing that he
good
got intention to buy them.
Excellent.
I don't know how I feel about the beginning.
Yeah,
about his uncle having his uncle buy them for him at a discount.
Well, I'm assuming
the employee discount is intended by the corporation for the employee, and thus.
I'm not sure. Usually, it's called a friends and family discount.
Is it
friends and usually?
If you're going into let's say Foot Locker, for instance, and you're just looking at the wall trying to find the pair, you're not like you're no salesman is there, and you're just getting it. You're just deciding which pair. It's not. It's fine.
Okay.
But if anyone even comes up to you,
and say, "Can I check out your prices?" They're going to say, "Yeah, of course. Check out the shoe." Cause
excellent.
There might be a chance that you're like,
Mr. Miller, excellent. If you were to walk into Foot Locker and you were to say to them, "Here's the story, Mr. Rabbi Sai. I have no intention in buying sneakers here. I want to look at the prices. Can I come in and look?" Invariably, they will tell you yes. Why will they tell you yes?
Because as soon as you walk through the store, you'll be distracted by all the lights.
100%. There's so many different distractions or marketing tools that are used within a store, what they're showing on the TVs in the store, what it puts you in a different state of mind. You know, like casinos don't have clocks. I'm told. So, good, that's part of it. Says Rav Zilberstein in his Tshuva, Nehemar b'Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Ches, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af lo yit'ale einav al mekach b'shah she'ein lo dam. Don't go to a store without any money and start asking, "How much is this? How much is this?" How much is that? That reminds me when I quote this Gemara. There was a Judaica store, and I wanted to buy a sefer in a certain town. And I went into the Judaica store, and the guy had a very interesting way of doing sales. So you would go in and go, "Oh, do you have a sefer Eim Abanim Smecha?" "Yes, we do." "Do you want it? Do 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 you want it?" That was his form of sales. I was like so annoyed. I worked out in Sterling. This guy's in that job. Okay. But you're not supposed to do that if you have no money.
I think as long as you level with the person.
Maybe it's mitzvah. Let's see. When Mesech is Derech Eretz, Rabba, Sheninu, Al Yomar, Bekama Chafetz Zeh, Vu Eino Rufa Lekech, Yilu Lobar, Velo, Meshabach Deito V'mocha. Because you're tricking the mind, if you will, of the mocha. And he explains, the Nachas Yaakov explains this Maseches Derech Eretz and says, "Mishum shezeu onas tvarim she'amoich yemahane atzmo bedata sheyim kuchafet zu zeh ube'emes ein data akona." He gets a CPI, he gets a hope. When you walk into the store, "I'm going to get a sale. The whole day nobody walked into my store. Finally somebody's here." If you will, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of a certain school, I will not mention the name, Ramaz, that has a Israel fair. And the Israel fair is different than all fairs that I've gone to, in that you sit around in a circle, and it's basically a popularity contest. Go to the place you want to go. It's like a shuk, they call it. And now, we don't do this, but now, let's say Yeshiva Leva Torah is the only one, so we put out, that's actually true, we put out candies, right? Or we put out flashlights and say, "Light up your urine, Leva Torah." I don't know, whatever. Now, what's going to happen? A guy comes up and says, "I really want a flashlight." So he goes over and he pretends like he cares about Leva Torah. This guy's not even going to Israel for the year. This guy's going to another program. I don't know. So I have a... Finally, the guy's come over. The whole night, nobody came over. Finally, what's your name? So the guy's like, "Oh, God, here we go." I talked to him and I leaves it. Wow. And maybe it's not true. Says Rav Zilberstein, that's a problem. Ulachein, ulachora, af benidon didon, in our case, kasher yichnas lachanut, yigrom etzel, balachanut sepia, that he's going to sell, and that's a problem. Yes.
I don't agree with that, because, like, for example, if you ever go to Times Square, you see
Coca-Cola, I've never been.
Coca-Cola or other companies, now they go out there a lot and they'll hand out keychains and whatever. The whole point is that now you have a magnet or a keychain that has their name on it.
Good.
So they want you to, you know, constantly.
Excellent.
It doesn't matter whether they're not buying something now.
At the end of the day, just to put your frame of mind, I actually think there's a difference between Israel and America in this Shiloh. And you're right. Yes.
In England, when we had like our yeshiva fairs, like some of the, because it's much smaller, they're willing to take people out for food. Whatever.
We're not allowed to do that.
All the yeshivas.
Huh? Right.
You really? So all the yeshivas that like were like, yeah, tell your friends, come out for a meal. Not a single one of them got a single boy.
Really?
Yeah, not a single one of them. Went out for like 3 meals.
I'll be honest with you. When that was done, I don't see it as a problem.
Yeah, they specify that you. Yeah, but it's like. You
if you're an inkling interested, then come. I'll give you a funny example. It's not going to have a stop, so it's just a funny story.
Why you do
it? We don't do it. We are not allowed to. We signed the contract, which the yeshiva initiated. We think it's a chutzpah. I actually think it's a whole chutzpah that we have to go in March. We're going into March in America to try to close the deal with guys. I think it's such a waste of time. I mean, for the rabbi. So what I have to do now is that, let's say I want to get a get-together. So I'm going to get the TABC's guys together. And the guys from Frisch together, they're all separate meetings. Very difficult for me, by the way, to have to eat dinner, you know, 2-3 times a night. Very hard. Very difficult. So, you go ahead and I write an email to the TABC guys. A lot of guys applied. And I said, my last line says, I apologize, but we can't pay for you. And I just happened to write, unless you already registered as a student in Leva Torah, so now obviously I got paid for you because I'm not convinced you're to come or not. Within 24 hours of that email, all the guys registered at TBC because they wanted the free meal. So I remember them coming, there was like an awkward meal for me, right? I wasn't recruiting. They all were coming, of these guys. So I went ahead and I said to them, I said, wow, for $20, whatever, how much money are you going to spend in Dougie's? 20, 25, that? For $25, you're all signed up. I can't believe it. Great. It was a good little ploy, I guess. What? Yeah, apparently that works. Yeah. Do you want to say something? No? Good.
Yeah.
Yes. Then say it.
Is it not the name of staff, so if you own a shop, then to have all of these kind of exciting lights and whatever?
Very good question.
Is it your parnasa?
Yeah.
No. Professor Levine, Olav Shalom, discusses this in his book about marketing. And in fact, even more so, Dr. Tamari has a book, I happen to have at home, that he signed for me. I was at a Pesach program with him. And he has, I think, a chapter on this exact thing, marketing tools that are used. What's considered to be industry standard and what's not. There is a minhag ha'olam, if you will, to do things in certain ways. To have mirrors look a certain way, things like that. It depends. It goes back to the Rambam and Hilchos Deos to say what? Great, it's halachically permissible, but is that the way you should be acting? In the introduction to one of the Art School Money books, I forgot which one, Rav Palm has an introduction there. In fact, in if I'm not mistaken, I think in Hilchos Ribbis of Rabbi Reisman, I think that he writes this there. And he quotes Rav Palm. Rav Palm was very well known, the Rosh Yeshiva Tor Vadas was very well known for his honesty and integrity. And they say, they would tell a story about a person who owned a mattress store on the Lower East Side. And he went back once, and somebody said, Lou, is this really the best mattress? And the wife says, yes, this is the best mattress. And all of a sudden the husband ran out and says, don't say it's the best mattress. Maybe there's another store that sells better mattresses. Don't ever say that. She wasn't lying. She thinks this is the best mattress we have. So the question is, what's the level of things that are actually dishonest? You're actually doing it because, you know, listen, I can't stop you, you know, I'm starving now because I didn't eat lunch, right? So like Lahavdil in the casino. So let's say, you know, that's not true. Of course, Camp Misora, the only way you can get to boys' campus is you have to walk through the canteen. It's the only way you can get to boys' campus, like the casino. The only way you can get to your rooms is walk through the casino. The only way you can get to anything is go look through the casino. It's not nice. Is that also us, sir? Is that a marketing scheme? Because you're going to buy something. It's like saying, you know, it's not fair whenever, you know, don't go to the supermarket when you're hungry. Right? Right, don't go on a fast day, for sure. All of a sudden you break your fast, and you're like, why did I buy all this stock? So let's see Rav Zilberstein. Even though he said all the stuff that seemingly it's usher, he says, me'idach, Yesh makom lahatir. Maybe we could say that it's mutter. Lahatir zos. Hiot v'chol Yehudi muchan la'asos chesed im chaveru kasher haya lo necher bimorona. Maybe this is the famous sugyan of Bava Basra, Zenano Zenachasar. Right? Let's say you guys get very lucky and all the guys move out of your ranch and now you have 6 extra beds there. So you think that you're stark. You think that you're stark and you decide that you're going to invite your friend for Shabbos. You don't tell Rabbi Hartsteiners. You're going to invite your friend for Shabbos. So Wallen, probably typical, right? He calls his friend Oren. And he comes up for Shabbos. And all of a sudden I see Oren there. But Oren is a very religious Jew. He knows that there's no way that Wallen got permission. And Oren says, I'm not going to eat from the dining room. I brought my own food. I have chicken sandwiches. I'll be fine. All he does is he's using the bed. So, you think Rabbi Hartstein gets upset. Rabbi Katz, he's really upset. And he comes to him, he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? Who are you? And this guy's a bit learned, and he says, Zednan, I didn't do anything. All I did is they use your bed. I didn't even flush a toilet. Don't worry, because they don't flush. Right? I didn't do anything. Said the Gemara Bava Metzia, maybe that's actually not bad. Maybe that's mutter. Very interesting. So maybe it's the same case here. What did I take away from you? Like you just said, I didn't take this time. Zednan, Zeno Chaser. Maybe he says, Meidach, you could say that?
Trespassing.
Eich, Yesh. It's Gemara Bava Metzia actually says that. A person who sleeps in a person's farm. And he sleeps in the house. It's trespassing, fine. I'm not saying you didn't do something wrong. Yeah. But I can't demand money from you. But if there is some sort of somewhat intangible damage, like, okay, but now I have to redo the beds now. Now the So that is also says the Gemara Bava Kama. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, I only do this because it's like daf, I started daf
yom. Yeah, yeah.
But in Bava Kama, I'm pretty sure it mentions that if it's some place where you normally would charge rent.
Yeah. 100%.
Normally people are paying.
Good. Right, correct, 100% correct. If it's in a hotel room, that's exactly what the Gemara says. If it's in a hotel room, so then for sure, that's also. You can't sleep in a hotel room and say, well, I didn't think I would get caught. Right? There would even be a question about extended stay in a hotel. Right? A person finds himself in a hotel and he has to check out by 11 o'clock. Nobody came into his room. It's 3 o'clock now. He's having a good time. Maybe that's even also. Let's finish off. He said that there's some shakul, there's some weight to the fact that there's agmas nefesh here. I come into my farm and you're sleeping there. V'ime shemu dubar bekinoi bekona sayoni shekimas mitzvahs lasosim utstaka. Maybe you could say, I'm allowed to be koyfenoi sotstaka. I'm poor. Who rashay lachnis amnas levarer tadegem uvukash v'gamze oni ulay yesh makom lahatir. Even not. Everybody wants their store to have people in it. It's obviously market research shows that people shop in a store when they see that there are more people in the store. And I'm not going to hire people, that's going to have a stas, to go to my store, so this is perfect. This guy comes in, he's not going to buy anything, but he's in my store. So now the next person that comes and sees that there's somebody in the store, ooh, maybe they're having a sale, why is somebody in the store? Good. And then he says, anashim, rushim, it's a good thing. Should say to him, show me the degen. And then when he does that, and says, listen, I just want to be honest with you. I really don't have an intention of buying it here. The im kashalasos came. He can't do that. He said you should buy something from the store. That's how he concludes. Buy shoelaces. You went in for a reason. I don't know if that's halacha l'maisa, but that's what he says. Okay, so let's just summarize here. Let's summarize and complete today's Geneva Das number 2. I personally think that there is a Metzias Machloikis, not a Machloikis in real Lumdis, between Rav Zilberstein and Rabbi Neustadt. They probably don't even know that they argue on each other. And that is that I think here in the United States of America, Rabbi Neustadt is correct. Foot Locker wants you to go into their store. Because you know what could happen? In the same case I gave you, Rav Zilberstein's case, the guy now is about to leave. And I said, hey dude, what's going on? How come you didn't purchase this item? You know what he says? He says, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. Let me be honest. My uncle Heshi, he actually is executive vice president. He's going to get a better price. And then all of a sudden my tentacles of sales go up and I say, ooh, I got a hot one. I bet you I can close this deal. I say, yeah? Let me ask you something. What did Uncle Heshi tell you you can get off? He says, actually, my Uncle Heshi said he can get 45% off of the retail price. So I said, okay, I have what to work with now. So you know what? I can give you right now 30% off the price. 30%. So the guy thinks and he says, I go to yeshiva school. We don't really learn math so much, but I think 45% is better than 30%. So have a good day. He says, wait a minute. Stachakol, we're talking about 15%. What's 15%? He says, you're going to be able to try on the shoes here. You're going to be able to get exactly what you want. If you have to return it, it's a few blocks away from your house. If you ever have any problems, it's here. Your uncle, you don't know exactly what you're getting. You don't know if the size is going to fit. You're never going to be able to send it back. If something happens to it, you're going to be too embarrassed to tell your uncle about it. Not worth 15%. What are we talking about? Tachlis. Seriously. Guy says, yeah, actually, you're right. And he buys the item. But a guy who came in and had zero intention to buy the item, he buys the item. So who? So I think Rabbi Neustadt, it's set up for that. This is what they want you to do. That's what I think. That's my personal opinion. I think that that would be mutter in this case. That's what I think. Maybe in Eretz Yisrael, it's different. Nobody wants you in their store ever. They're upset when people come and shop in their store. They'll kick you out of the store if they want to. They don't care. Yeah. So maybe it's a machlokes and metzius. Maybe. That's what I think would be the case in the Nike case. In general, obviously a person can't have full intentions of buying hundreds of products and returning it. I have a wedding tomorrow night, so I'm going to buy a suit now in Sims or whatever. No, Sims anymore. Right? In Brooks Brothers and return it afterwards. That's problematic, although the question is, how far do you go? Maybe they don't care. They know that maybe you'll keep it. Maybe you'll go to the wedding with the full intention of returning the bird, and everybody come up to you, wow, that's a Spitz suit. Spitz. I love it. Maybe. And then what happens? You feel so good about yourself, you say, yeah, I'm not returning this suit. So I'll figure out how to pay for it. I don't know. So I'm not sure it's worth it. And finally, just to put into perspective, I think that there is a two Rambams specifically, because there's an Isra of Chil Hashem, there's an Isra of ethical nature. There's halachas of Mechira, there's halachas of Chosh Mishpah, but then there's a how we act, Toshuk Kabara. And that's something always have to consider, even if within the letter of the law, something might be mutter, is it the way that a person should act? And that's a bit of an ikker as well.